Stand Up Paddle the World Radio is brought to you by Aquaglide.
Hey, this is Daryl Kirk with Stand Up Paddle the World Radio. And man, I am like Hawaiian stoked today. Super stoked, Hawaiian stoked. Very good friend of mine, Patrick Huang, and his friend Matt's son. They are just back from the M2M race, you know, the Maui to Molokai race, you know, like this 26, 27 mile race that is in Hawaii. And man, they are here. They're just back from Hawaii. I mean, barely landed, and I grabbed them so we could hear about this race, hear about OC. Also hear about this clinic they did with Kai Bartlett. They were on the Maliko Gulch run. But anyway, we got a lot of OC stoke going on here. A lot of crossover between our OC community and the stand-up paddle community here in Seattle. And I'm sure that's true around the world. But hey, man, Matt, Patrick, how are you guys? Man.
Hey. Hello.
That's great. Yeah. Man, Patrick, man, is this the first time you've done this race?
It's my second time, Daryl.
Oh, great. And Matt's first time. Matt, what was it like, man? Let's talk about it, man. What was it like for you?
Well, I was just unsure just because of the distance and the type of water in Hawaii. So I decided to do Kai Bartlett's clinic that Patrick recommended from last year just to get prepared for the race. And it helped out
man,
a lot.
Man, what'd you learn? What helped you out there?
So pretty much we spent 5 days doing downwind runs from Maliko Gulch to Kahului Harbor in Maui. And I think just being able to get on that run, because it's pretty technical with swell and wind chop, you have to really figure out how to position your boat and read the water in order to surf really efficiently. And getting that time out on Kai's clinic was pretty much invaluable.
Man, that's great. Just before the race there. Man, that's really great. You kill two birds with one stone, get an epic clinic, and run that great race. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Man, Patrick, what was it like, you know, man, so you've got a first run that you did, you know, before, and now you've taken this clinic. But, man, I mean, you do a lot of clinics, but what was it like for you this second race?
Yeah, the second time around, I think, is just as epic as the first one. The first one, I had no idea what to expect, just kind of going out there, first time paddling in the oceans, and definitely learn from it. Every single day is a little different, too. 5 days, you're going out to the Maliko Gulch, and the wind condition changes from day to day. So day one can be way different than day five. So for me, it's just going out there consistently every day. And that helps a lot. Like, even Matt can probably talk to it. Our first day is way different than the fifth day of our clinic. So it's like every day we go out is something new that we're learning
and
each day.
How many days was this clinic? Oh, five-day clinic. Okay, well, yeah, talk on that, Matt. What about it then, man?
Yeah, so we meet up. Kai split us into two groups. So one group goes out in the morning. The second group goes out in the afternoon. Typical trade wind comes out stronger in the afternoon, so the morning group goes out pretty light conditions, so you get to learn to read the water a little easier. And afternoon group would definitely have a little more challenging, a little more technical course to paddle. And I mean, day to day, some days the mornings are really good too. It's fire, the wind's blowing. So we were lucky that we had the mix of flat day, calm days, light wind.
Man, that's great. What about you, Matt? What'd you find on this 5 days in these varying conditions?
Yeah, as Patrick said, we had some flatter days, and then we had one really epic big day, which is pretty challenging. I hulied once during that day and scared the daylights out of me.
Big old waves, yeah.
Yeah, but Kai does a really good job with having escort paddlers with us. So we had a bunch of elite guys from Team Primo to pretty much watch us and give us pointers. We also had the opportunity to get on a OC2 or two-man canoe with Pat Dolan, who's really, really, really fast. And he would give us a lot of pointers just in terms of surfing and maneuvering the boat around in the water.
Man, that's incredible. I mean, in stand-up paddle racing, we don't have Danny Ching jump on our board and show us. I mean, and man, that must be great having being on. I know when I'm on OC6, you get that feedback. I mean, what was that feedback like, you know, being right on the same canoe with you?
Yeah, since Pat is pretty much one of the top paddlers in Hawaii right now, it's kind of intimidating. Like every stroke he took, it felt like I was going to be knocked off the boat.
Just you're kidding he's so me. Strong. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And then, the cool thing about the OC2 is that you can, steer from either the front or the back. And then, just watching and feeling Pat steer, he does a lot of subtle movements to correct in order to position the boat into the trough of the wave to surf really efficiently, and he's extremely patient with it as well. So I think those are probably the two main things that I took away from paddling with Pat, and also just sitting on top of the wave rather than dropping down into the trough, although it's really, really fun.
Now, what can you say about that, Patrick, being on the same canoe like that? You know, what did you feel?
Well, I didn't get to go paddle OC2 trips, but I did that back at the Gorge with Kai. And like Matt said, it's the patience that you put in reading the waves. And when Kai goes surfing, he definitely has a roadmap in front of him that he sees way before the wave develops. Like they have the sense of where the wave's going to come, and they'll position it both right there, right at the right moments where the wave builds up, and there goes.
So that connecting, really, yeah.
Yeah, it's that.
What?
It's that feeling that you have for the water.
So how are you, what did you learn from that, this connecting, you know, boy, being a good downwinder, what did you learn from this clinic on that, connecting these waves? What are you seeing? How are you connecting?
For me, a lot of it this year was how to get off the wave. A lot of time you know how to connect, but it's like how you get off the wave that's going to help you connect to next wave. That's what I try to learn for the last 12 months. Doing a lot of downwinding either on sub or OC to try to figure out how can I better myself to position my craft to be ready to catch the next wave. So a lot of time it's easy to catch the wave, but how do you get off a wave and be ready for the next one? I think that's
Man, can you elaborate, either of you, you or Matt, on that? What did you learn on that?
Yeah, so like Matt said, just stay on that wave as long as you can, because the longer you stay on that wave that you're on, that's going to open up more opportunity for you to look at other waves that's going to be building in front of you. So instead of sliding down that trough right away, there may be nothing to connect, but if you stayed up on top as long as you can be looking out for the better line to take.
Oh, man, that's great. Matt, anything else on that?
Yeah, I think with the Maliko run, it's very easy to see which direction the wind is blowing and also which way the groundswell is rolling. The groundswell tends to go from the right to the left, and then you have the wind chop going from the left to the right. So pretty much you just want to catch a small wind chop in order to get on the big groundswell and ride that as best as possible. But then once you're going so fast, you get this massive high, and then you just really need to hold yourself back a little bit and enjoy it. And then once you're on top of the wave, you have to pretty much scope out which line you're going to take next. And I think that's where the art really comes into it, where a lot of these elite guys have years and years of experience and know where the waves are going to form and where to attack.
That's great, man. That's really good information, man. Thank you. What about, you know, 5 days, man, this is like a lifetime. This is great. What happened with paddle stroke? Did you learn some new paddle stroke techniques?
Well, I think especially for a race like M2M, the technique or your habits that you have probably realistically won't change that much over the next few days. And especially when you're racing, your fatigue, you're going to go back to your bad habits. But I feel that the major benefits that we did gain was from being able to read the water more effectively. But Kai did do a few video sessions of our technique and stroke. Uh-oh. So that was a little bit helpful, but realistically surfing the waves would benefit us a lot more than the technical aspect of our stroke.
That's a good point. You're going to gain massive amount of extra distance and speed getting those waves right, I guess. You see a huge difference, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's great. Wow. So, what about mental? Was there anything on mental technique or mental, any esoteric things that helped you guys out on this clinic?
Patrick, do you have anything about that?
Any pacing strategies or mental techniques or anything else, Patrick?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, just go out and have fun and just definitely pace yourself. It's a long race, just like a marathon. It's going to take you 3 to 4 hours for most of us, unless the elite paddler can finish under 3 hours. But definitely, I think just have that peace of mind that you're going out there having fun. It's a journey. So it's not like we're going to race with another paddler for the whole entire race. I know for myself, half hour into the race, I'm pretty much out there by myself. Occasionally, I'll see a chase boat coming by, or I'll see a paddler that I get to pass for a little bit, and then we'll be dueling it out back and forth. And then once someone catch a wave and they're gone, you won't see them again until probably the finish.
Oh, man.
So it's pretty unreal that you're out there on the ocean pretty much 80% all by yourself.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, that's excellent. Okay, so that was the Kai Bartlett clinic. So you might want to look into that. Sounds like it really benefited these gentlemen a lot. Well, man, let's talk about this M2M, man, the Maui to Molokai race, man. Well, so Patrick, you've done it a couple times. Matt, it was new for you. Tell me about it. Patrick, what was it like this second time? What was this race like?
For me, it's still fun. I mean, I still got a lot of fun. I'm actually looking forward to next year. Hopefully, that I can do this again. It's a challenge that you set yourself to do. So that's my end goal for the one-man season, is go to Hawaii and do a race. And M2M has been a really good challenge for me so far. And personally, it's very enjoying to actually go out there and surf for three plus hours, and actually have fun.
Wow, that's a long way, man. What? How about you, Matt? What did that feel like, that race?
Yeah, for me, it was just pretty much the last big race that I plan to do for a while. But just being able to be there, getting to the start line is probably like 90% of the work. A lot of the training and preparation that took place over the past year or so, there's a lot of logistics involved as well, such as getting a boat, getting back from the island, shipping your boat back. All those logistics can be a little bit stressful as well. But the race, all in all, was really good. As Patrick said, you start on the line with 100-plus paddlers, and then 30 minutes out, you're just by yourself in the ocean. And it's just really important to keep a strong, positive mindset when you're out there, because any bad mojo will just throw you off in your surfing game as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons you want to keep it all together when you're that far out alone. Boy, wow. Can you tell us more about the race? Is that an older race? That's been around a while, hasn't it?
I know that they have it for the sixth man. It's called the Pailolo Challenge, okay. I think. And then I heard of that, and then I heard about the M2M, which is the solo race. So I just decided to go for the solo one, just because I mainly train on OC1 by myself.
That's great. Matt, let's talk about OC. How did you guys get involved in this? And I didn't even know it's a fairly new sport. Of course, we've had Outrigger forever, very old. But this Outrigger as we know it now with the OC2s, OC1s, like that, this is new. But how did you guys find it? And Matt, go ahead, Matt. How did you get involved in Outrigger?
Yeah, so I started with Dragon Boat back in college. Did that and then I wanted to try out for the national team for that. So then my coach recommended me Outrigger Canoe as a good way just to cross train, because you get a lot more individual feedback on a boat by yourself rather than on a big boat with 20 people on a dragon boat. So you can really understand what you're doing technique wise with your stroke and how that feedback instantly will apply. And then I just pretty much took it from there. And then I actually met Patrick at the Gorge last year, which was pretty fun. It was one of the big races I decided to drive up by myself alone. So from there, we're like, okay, let's do Maui to Molokai next year.
It'll be good. Oh, that's fun. Great. Yeah, the Gorge is, we're so lucky to have that nearby here in Seattle. So, you know, a few hours away. That's great. Man, well, Patrick, when did you get into OC? Probably, what, 7, 8 years ago? When did...
About that, I think about 6 years ago that I started OC paddling. Just like Matt, I started out as a dragon boat paddler as well for 5, 6 years. And just needing that winter workout, and coach recommended, go try it out OC. Actually, we started out as OC 6. So I actually started on a 6-man canoe first. And after a year or 6 months later, I definitely got my first OC 1 and started paddling OC 1.
That's great. Okay. Yeah, Patrick is one of our very fast stand-up paddle racers, and it's that technique and experience and length on the water and always, you know, trying new stuff. So, yeah, you've been really great. You know, talk about this OC, and so you guys have been in OC or dragon boats. You've been on the water a lot. You've seen a lot of sports. This, someone was bringing this up to me the other day. Annabelle Anderson, I had talked to her about this, and she said that she was just surprised at how family-oriented Outrigger Canoe is, you know. And I found that with you guys, Patrick, your Ohana, man, my Ohana with you guys, Ernie Wong was one of the first guys to really reach out to me in a loving way and just, you know, say, hey, man, how are you? What are you about? And I found that with you guys, this whole, you know, Sandpoint Outrigger Club and that. But talk about that, man. Patrick, talk about this the Ohana there in the OC community. It seems to be really different, really special.
It is. I think it's a lifestyle that we kind of adopted to. It's a sport, but it's mostly a family that take care of each other first. So you definitely have your crew, and definitely the crew comes first. So I think that's what brought me into the outrigger community, is that it is a team sport and also an individual sport. So it's like both aspects of racing is there. Part of the club and part of the family. And we also do a lot of stuff outside of the club. And kind of meeting Matt is like one way of bringing a new member into our family. So you don't have to be in the same city to make friends and be part of the Ohana. So I think going to Hawaii, we see that too. I mean, Matt can say more a little bit about this trip too. We met a lot of people that's local, and that's very welcoming for us to come back year after year. Definitely help us out on downwind runs, giving us boats and stuff.
That
community.
You really
there.
Put that well, Patrick. That's great. And I tell you, I have felt that love from you guys and your Ohana, man. It is like unbelievable, man. But how about you, Matt? Talk to that, man. Speak to that.
Yeah, my background's a little bit different since I trained OC1 and pretty much do it solo in the Bay Area. And then when I went to the Gorge, I just by chance met Ernie, and then I have a few mutual friends who actually paddle for Sandpoint, and then pretty much Patrick and Ernie adopted me for the week at the Gorge, which is pretty stellar. Man. And then, yeah, I'm really thankful for that.
That is great.
And then...
What? How?
Yeah, and then...
How did this... Mm-hmm? What was Dragon Boat like then? What happened with that? I mean, how is this different from you guys' entry before you got into this Outrigger, you know? What was it like before in the dragon boat communities and that?
It's a bigger family for the dragon boat. There's a lot more team members. That's 20 paddlers on a boat versus 6. But as a club goes, about the same. I think you have a lot of crossover. A lot of dragon boat paddlers actually paddle outrigger as well. So now I just don't paddle dragon boat as much. Maybe once a year I'll get invited and go to some of the bigger races. But yeah, that community still there is crossover.
That's great. Man, you guys really put that well. Thank you very much. Man, talk about, you know, if someone wanted to get in outrigger, I mean, this is pretty tough. I mean, it's bigger boats, you need a place to store it. You know, what's a good way to find out, you know, to get into OC? And either, yeah.
In Seattle, it's pretty easy. We have a lot of clubs here. Definitely there's 5-6 clubs within Seattle area. And OC6 is pretty easy. You just showed up and start practicing. The canoes are there. And a lot of clubs actually have club one-man canoe that you can borrow and try it out before you definitely invest in something that's more competitive. Okay.
And Matt, we're...
Yeah, I would agree with Patrick on that one. Probably look for a OC6 club to join.
Okay.
Just because it's a little bit easier with all the logistics and it doesn't require the financial investment such as doing OC1. It can get pretty costly pretty quickly. Yeah. So you know how that goes with the boards,
too. Well, it's funny, too. You know, when we're paying $2,000, $3,000 for a stand-up paddle board, man, $3,000 buys a lot more in an OC, man. You're buying like an aircraft, you know, with all these parts on it and gears and cables and all of this stuff. And so it's funny when we look at an OC, man, you get a lot more for your buck on an OC, it looks like, but they're incredible.
It's faster, too.
Matt, are you doing stand-up paddle at all? Crossover or?
I'm playing around with the idea of positioning a sub because I'm moving from home next year, and I can't take my boat with me. So, thinking about getting inflatable and transition.
Yeah. Okay. And Patrick, I mean, you're one of our best racers here in Seattle, man. You're real fast. And speak on that. You know, how about? I mean, you've just been paddling a long time, but how has OC helped you to be a better stand-up paddle racer?
Well, I think it's time on water. So like any paddle sport, the more time you spend, you get better feel for it. I think for my background, we spend a lot of time on OC paddling in different conditions, especially the longer races. You need to excel a little better on the sub when it gets longer. I'm definitely not a super fast guy when it comes to short course, technical course with lots of wind turns. Still need to work on that. But yeah, when it goes to a long distance race, I feel like I can pace myself a little better.
Okay.
Just use my energy a little more efficient. And just outrigger races typically are pretty long. I mean, we race 6 to 7 miles. And some of the races here are 10 miles.
So. Man, I'll say you guys are insane too, man. You start your winter season, and I've actually been out with you guys once where there was ice in the OC6s, man. And, man, we were out. You know, you guys are really just crazy on your training. You really do a great job. I know you're real methodical about it, but man, you guys are out there, man. What?
Yeah, I think that's one thing we learned from this trip is that you put in the time on the water, even seeing like the top guy, Kai, goes out there in the morning doing his sprint and go come do this clinic with us, and then he goes downwinding, so spends a lot of time on the water as well, just like anybody.
That's great, man. You know, so where do you think the future is going with this OC? Again, I thought it was, I didn't know it was this short of, you know, it's a pretty new sport, but where do you see the OC racing going? Matt, what do you see, Matt, on that?
Well, a lot of the top sub guys have a background in outrigger, and I think that a lot of the sub paddlers are finding value in that just because I would say, for example, if you're trying to understand reading bumps, it's a little bit harder to see it when you're standing up. But if you're sitting a bit lower on the boat, it's a little bit easier. And then I feel that the feeling of catching water translates from OC to sub pretty well, except the mechanics are a little bit different because you have to use more of your legs and core with that. But I see both of the sports growing together, and hopefully they can play off each other in order to benefit everybody.
Ben, you said something huge, and Patrick, I'll ask you, or either one of you, but what do you think about that, Patrick? Matt was saying you could see the waves easier. What does that help you transfer over to your SUP? You know, seeing things there sitting down that might transfer over to SUP on these, seeing the waves, you know, what do you think on that?
Yeah, well, for me, I think when I'm standing up, I can see a little further, but definitely OC, you're down lower, so you do get that feel of the water a lot better than standing up, because I feel like when we're standing up on a sub, you're balancing the board. But sitting down, you don't have to, you kind of take out that one equation balancing. It's pretty stable on the OC1, so you're sitting down much lower to the water. So in that sense, you can feel the water much easier when you go on the glide. So there's definitely that lift and glide aspect that you're not quite getting on a sub versus the OC. You get it a lot easier on the OC1 when you're actually surfing or downwind.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting. You know, seeing, consciously seeing things and then, you know, subconsciously, you know, seeing what you're seeing between the two modes there. I'm sure a lot transfers over that you know, you're getting from those different modes. But man, that's great. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's different crafts, so the techniques are a little different. That's what I find out. I'm still learning on the sub, how the downwind on the sub. But, I mean, the water is water, wave is wave. So the craft kind of goes down identically, but then yet they're very different on how you get on the
ball. Okay.
So.
You know, I've been coming up with this whole, you know, let's go on to something else here. This whole, you know, and I was talking with different people from Hawaii about this. It's funny how around the world we've adopted this Hawaiian culture, the chaka, the, you know, pokey, you know, just craziness. But there is something to that, man. There is something about this Hawaiian vibe that's always been here, but it's really sweeping, and it's just a good way to go, you know. And to speak about that, I mean, you're back from Hawaii. I mean, talk about this Hawaiian vibe and this culture and everything and the ohana and all that. I mean, Matt, what are you learning, Matt? What did you see?
It's his first trip.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, culture is definitely different from where I'm from in the San Francisco Bay Area. People are just a lot more mellow and chill about everything, and they're extremely, extremely generous. Like, yeah, I would say just like sharing aloha and everything's all
that's
fun.
That's great. There. Patrick, you're over there a lot, man. Tell me about it. What have you found out? You know, just.
Yeah, I think it's the lifestyle that we all kind of want to enjoy. And part of it, being here on the mainland, we don't quite get to travel there as much as we like. So we kind of always looking forward to going to the island.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a lifestyle that I like paddling. And Hawaii just happened to be a really nice place to go paddle and race.
Man.
So for me, it's the family, the culture. It's definitely a lot slower pace. I mean, one thing I found yesterday, got off the plane, got into my van, started driving. I was like, people drive way too fast here in Seattle.
Man.
It's like when we're on Maui, top speed probably 40 miles per hour for the whole entire 2 weeks that we're there. So that's one thing. It's like lifestyle just seems to be a lot faster on the mainland. When you go back to Hawaii, it just seems like everything just seems to be a step slower, which is nice. Just you get to see a lot. Enjoy life.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's great. Okay, then we'll transition from the slow life to the fast life in Hawaii, which is on these boats. What, Patrick, what do you got? What do you like for a canoe, man? What kind of gear are you guys using?
Well, I have an Antares built by Kai. So it's Kai's downwinding boat, and it's been really fun. And demoed a few boats on the clinic too, so the RV's been a really fun, a little small volume boat, but definitely super fast.
Oh, great. Okay.
Kai builds his boat on Maui, so it definitely fits the water pretty good for what we do for the race.
Oh, cool. How about you, Matt? What do you like to paddle out there?
Yeah, I actually own a Kai's Ares, which is a lower volume boat back home. But you definitely feel that his boats rock in the open ocean swells out there a lot better. And what I really like about his boats are that they're extremely comfortable as well.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Especially a four-hour race.
Yeah, right.
Gotta be happy.
Yeah.
Now, there's some seasons. I've learned this from Patrick, the different seasons, you know, And they may not make sense on the mainland here, but Patrick, talk about the outrigger canoe race seasons, how you have your winter season, your summer season, and talk about that and why it coincides the way it does.
Yeah, in Hawaii, their one-man season or winter season, here in Seattle, and then their six-man regatta seating season where they do a lot of sprint races are typically in the summer, and that's how the racing schedules are kind of set for the Hawaiian championship races. And a lot of us in PNW Association follows the same schedule. That way, if a club wants to travel to Hawaii to race, they will be in the same season. So you don't have to worry about racing OC1 or racing OC6, how you train for different races.
Okay. And that just coincides, you have a different season in Hawaii. I mean, is it just, yeah.
It's a six-man season or a one-man season.
Okay. Oh, that's great. So we've got, we kind of know how to get into OC. How do we find our way around Hawaii there? I mean, talk about Hawaii. I mean, for someone that, you know, what are the different, you know, areas? What's a good area to go in for OC or what? You know, talk about that. And Pat or Matt or Patrick, either one, whoever wants to.
Patrick has more experience. I just tagged on with him pretty much.
He's been there a lot, man. What do you think, Patrick? Give us a tour of the islands there, man.
I mean, well, all the islands are great for paddling. Unfortunately, I've been only to one island on Maui to paddle. But Oahu, Kauai, Kona, they all have races. That's one nice thing about Hawaii. For the major islands, all have races going on throughout the year. And one nice thing going there, everyone's a good paddler. So for me, going there to paddle, you meet all these local that doesn't look like a super paddler, but then they're super fast and they're super good. So you just, it's like they're the Superman of outrigger paddler.
But
You can't tell by just looking at them till you see them on water. So it just kind of impressed me the most is going to Hawaii. My first time there, I just showed up with a paddle, standing on the beach, and all these people would come out and say, hey, would you like to come paddle with us? We have open seat for you. So the culture is very friendly in Hawaii. A lot of club will invite you on if you have a paddle, you look like a paddler. They'll definitely more than welcome to take you out.
Man, that's beautiful, man. Wow, that's insane. So I've got a lot of choices. What would, you know, right off of you, Patrick, just what's your preference? If I, you know, never gone, want to go, where would you say? Where do I want to head to?
Well, my island's always been Maui, so I say definitely go there. It's a little mix of, I mean, it's not super touristy, it's not super city-like, it's not super, kind of like, Kauai is way different than Maui. So I say it all depends on what you like. If you want something super quiet, go to Kauai or Kona. If you want to be in the city, the Oahu has a lot to offer. It's the city life plus the beach and the ocean. But Maui is kind of, it's a little more mellow, but it still has a lot of the nice restaurant, touristy stuff that I can do with the family than when we're in town.
Oh, man. Matt, you got anything on your first experience there? Where to go?
Patrick knows where all the food recommendations are.
Oh, he does. Man, he does, man. Seattle, too, and yeah, that's great.
Eat and paddle.
There you go. Paddle to eat. Eat the paddle, man. Well, man. That is Patrick Huang and Matt's son, man. What did we not cover here, man? Patrick, Matt, anything else we can talk about?
Get out there. Just get to the island if you can.
That's great. Matt?
Yeah, it's well worth it. And just coming back from that race, it's really refreshing to see that all these people sacrifice so much in terms of training commitment just to make that race, and it just makes me more stoked for the next year, hopefully.
Man, thank you, gentlemen. You have really, you know, stoked a lot of people here, I think. And man, if you sup, get on OC. If you OC, get on sup, man. But thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you so much, man. All right.
Thank you.
All right, man. Matt.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt's son and Patrick Huang. And man, boy, that just great. I love OC and really excited to talk to those guys. But man, thank you so much for listening every week. We love having great guests like that on. But man, this is Daryl Kirk, Stand Up Paddle of the World Radio. Stay up and stay on that board. Hey, gentlemen, thank you. That was epic, man.
Stand Up Paddle the World Radio is brought to you by Treat House Vacation Rental. Visiting Seattle? Live like a local. Treehouse Vacation Rental, 206-255-9770.